Why would a brilliant man like Steve Jobs, diagnosed with treatable pancreatic cancer, delay surgery for 9 months to pursue acupuncture and herbs, a decision that likely cost him his life? This pattern repeats across society, with half of Americans spending $34 billion annually on alternative treatments despite mounting evidence questioning their effectiveness. The allure is powerful. Natural remedies feel safer than pharmaceuticals. Ancient wisdom seems superior to modern science, and personalized attention from alternative practitioners contrasts with rushed conventional doctor visits. But this seduction can be deadly when belief in natural healing trumps scientific evidence. The tension between evidence-based medicine and alternative therapies reflects our deepest anxieties about health, technology, and trust, a conflict that plays out in doctors' offices, courtrooms, and personal health decisions every day. In 1977, 7-year-old Joey Hofbauer was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. Despite a 95% survival rate with conventional treatment, his parents opted for metabolic therapy at Jamaica's Fairfield Medical Center, including Leitrile treatments derived from apricot pits. A 3-year legal battle ensued. With support from psychiatrist Michael Schachter, Joey received alternative treatments, including raw milk, liver juice, and various enemas. Even as cancer spread to 17 lymph nodes, Judge Robert Brown sided with the parents, legitimizing the unproven therapy. The case gained national attention, with celebrity support from Steve McQueen, who was also pursuing Leitrile treatment. Joey died in July 1980 at age 10 with cancer in his lungs. McQueen died 4 months later, and clinical trials the following year proved Leitrile ineffective. The National Health Federation, representing alternative medicine interests, backed Joey's case, exemplifying a pattern of medical distrust and preference for natural treatments that continues driving alternative medicine today. How did Mehmet Oz transform from Harvard-educated cardiac surgeon to television's leading promoter of questionable treatments? His journey reflects a paradoxical relationship with medicine, embracing technology while yearning for simpler solutions. Despite impeccable credentials, Harvard graduate, Columbia professor, author of 400 medical papers, Oz promotes everything from homeopathy to psychic communication. This contradiction mirrors society's ambivalence toward scientific progress. Historically, medicine was ineffective. Ancient healers blamed divine punishment or imbalanced humors, using bloodletting and enemas. Chinese practitioners developed acupuncture based on 12 meridians representing rivers. Scientific medicine didn't emerge until the late 1700s. Scientific advances extended American lifespans by 30 years in the 20th century. Yet Oz's show represents regression, featuring faith healers and psychics claiming miraculous cures. Alternative medicine appeals through personalization, ancient wisdom, spirituality, and patient autonomy. Ironically, while alternative remedies gain popularity in wealthy nations, they're often rejected in their countries of origin. Only 18% of mainland Chinese choose traditional medicines when Western care is available. Linus Pauling, double Nobel laureate, launched today's $28 billion supplement industry through vitamin C advocacy despite contradicting science. In 1966, biochemist Erwin Stone convinced Pauling that high-dose vitamin C prevented colds. Taking 3,000 milligrams daily, 50 times recommended, Pauling claimed immunity, though he rebranded cold symptoms as allergies. Pauling later claimed vitamin C cured cancer, citing Scottish surgeon Ewan Cameron's findings. However, researchers revealed Cameron's study was flawed. His vitamin C patients were healthier initially. When Mayo Clinic studies found no benefit in 150 cancer patients, Pauling dismissed them as fraud and expanded claims to include heart disease, mental illness, and AIDS. He promoted vitamins as antioxidants, fighting free radicals. While whole fruits and vegetables correlate with better health, studies show supplemental antioxidants increase mortality. research indicates higher rates of cancer, heart disease, and death among supplement users. Despite evidence disproving his claims, Pauling's advocacy created an industry that thrives on marketing and political protection. Drug regulation in America evolved from the unregulated patent medicines of the 1800s, spurred by the efforts of chemist Harvey Wiley, journalist Samuel Hopkins Adams, and Upton Sinclair's exposé, The Jungle. The FDA gained authority after the 1937 Elixir sulfonylhyde tragedy and the 1961 Kefauver-Harris Amendment, requiring proof of drug safety and effectiveness. This progress reversed when Linus Pauling promoted megadose vitamins in the 1970s, leading to Senator Proxmire's amendment blocking FDA vitamin oversight. In the 1990s, supplement industry leader Jerry Kessler and Utah Senator Orrin Hatch orchestrated a powerful lobbying campaign against FDA regulation, using celebrity endorsements and grassroots activism through health food stores. The resulting 1994 Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, dubbed the Snake Oil Protection Act by the New York Times, effectively removed supplements from FDA oversight. The consequences were severe. Blue cohosh caused heart failure, green tea extracts damaged livers, and Aristolochia led to kidney failure. Between 1983 and 2004, poison control centers recorded 1.3 million adverse reactions to supplements, including 175,268 hospitalizations and 139 deaths. When patients believe treatments will help them, they often experience relief, not from the treatment itself, but because belief acts as powerful medicine. This explains why acupuncture works regardless of needle placement. The placebo effect combines psychological and physiological elements. People rationalize treatments through cognitive dissonance, while a therapist's presentation and demeanor significantly influence outcomes. As therapist Ted Kapchuk ants, it isn't really about the needles, it's about the man. Scientists discovered the placebo effect's physical basis in the 1970s, renaming it the placebo response. They found brain endorphins binding to morphine receptors and proved naloxone could block placebo pain relief, confirming the response was physically real. This explains acupuncture's effectiveness despite its incorrect anatomical theory. People can control their immune responses through mental conditioning, as Robert Ader demonstrated with a lupus patient who learned to suppress his immune response using fewer drugs through sensory association. While alternative medicines may not outperform placebos, they can work effectively as placebos themselves. The placebo response has been healing's foundation for millennia, explaining alternative medicine's apparent success rather than invalidating it. Alternative therapies can be valuable, but four key criteria distinguish placebo medicine from dangerous quackery. First, steering patients away from effective treatments can be fatal, as when asthmatics died after receiving homeopathic remedies instead of bronchodilators. Second, some alternative treatments pose direct risks, with chiropractic neck manipulations alone causing 26 documented deaths from vertebral artery tears. Third, practitioners often exploit patients financially through expensive, unproven treatments, particularly detoxification therapies, justified by scientifically invalid testing methods. Fourth, magical thinking promotes scientific illiteracy, with claims like titanium necklaces that stabilize electricity, leaving patients vulnerable to quackery. Albert Schweitzer described a wise Gabonese healer who knew his limits. Using herbs for minor ailments, incantations for psychological issues, and referring serious cases to medical care. As he noted, the witch doctor succeeds for the same reason the rest of us succeed. Each patient carries his own doctor inside him.